You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, and a Happy New Year to all our listeners out there. And of course, you know me, I never know where out there is, but I'm sure our greetings will be there.
We have several questions from our listeners today. The first from Michael. Happy holidays, Bob and Jim. Gold, silver, and precious metal mining stocks are rallying with the equity markets. However, crypto virtual currencies are faltering along with the U.S. dollar and long-term treasuries. Bob, I'm confused. Which of these are risk asset and which are safe havens?
There is no safe haven out there other than cash. And if you're in, say, T-bills or equivalent deposits, when you're in a post-bubble contraction, short rates go down to zero. The T-bill rate is going to go to zero. But hey, now at this moment, and I got one just the other day, a headline stating that when the Fed finally gets around to really doing its serious Fed cuts, and they're going to happen, they think that this is very good for the stock markets. And then I got a quote from September 2007, and after that everything tanked. And it was the thing, it was with Fed cuts, it would certainly, the author wrote, certainly be good for the markets. And the problem is, and I've taken this back a few hundred years, is that in a boom, the treasury bill rate goes up, and in a bust, the treasury bill rate goes down. And since there was a key high in sort of May, June for the three-month bill, and it is down quite a bit and looking like it wants to go. Well, as a matter of fact, last few weeks it's declined impressively. So here is the issue. The short rates are going down and it's a disaster, and they won't realize it so until it is a disaster. So I'm not about the dollar being a safe haven. Yeah. One of the features, identifying features of a post-bubble Great Depression is the senior currency becomes, and I like to use the term, chronically firm. And one of the explanations seems to be that with the great fantastic bubble, it's although equities get all the media, you have a huge bubble in bonds, particularly in junk bonds and nasty stuff like that. So when the bubble is over, then borrowers have to look at servicing their debt in U.S. dollars into New York. And I think this is what makes the senior currency chronically firm after during a Great Depression. And of course, this was also the case back when London was the financial center and the pound sterling was the senior currency. So it holds over quite a long period of time.
Another question for Bob from Michael. Is the recent parabolic rise in silver and precious metal mining stocks a signal that the equity markets are peaking?
Yeah, you're onto a good one there. I really like the silver chart. We all know about silver bugs. They have calculated the position of silver supply demand right down to maybe 10,000 ounces. And they always point out that there's a shortage of silver every year, so every year silver is going to go up. but they seem to overlook the fact that there's a very important component in silver that is dependent upon financial conditions. So silver going right up now is, in my mind, hey, this is the way it's acting, this is good. And Ross Clark, on his chart on it, said they're, you know, getting excessive, but there could be one last little one last rally to it, which would be good. But the work I've done is that silver, when it breaks and goes down, and it goes down relative to gold, then it is giving a financial signal that the party is over or about to get over, that sort of thing. So we watch silver very closely for financial reasons.
Also from Michael, after the first leg of a market crash, can we see gold and the U.S. dollar become the go-to safe havens while seeing silver, precious metal mining stocks, and commodities continue to crash with the overall equity markets as happened in 2008?
Yep, you got it. Yeah, that's pretty well the possibility, or it's a pattern that has happened before, so...
And Michael, gosh, he's got a lot of questions for us today. He continues to say, as we proceed into 2026, many well-known market pundits are predicting a credit crisis greater than in 2008, crashing real estate prices, the busting of the stock market, bidless U.S. treasuries, and a crashing dollar. Well, Bob, I'm confused here. When credit, equity, and real estate bubbles pop, then doesn't U.S. treasuries rally and the U.S. dollar rockets higher as people are in search of dollars to fund margin calls and to satisfy collateral calls on upside-down loans?
Yeah, that's a good cover on it. But the long treasuries, they're not a buy and hold. They're for trading. And the idea, we covered it a little bit ago, that short rates going down is good for the market. It's always signals a disaster. So in a great financial bubble, and this has been the everything bubble, they go right on up until everybody is in, everybody has exhausted their abilities, the shorts have been ruined, and then it goes down. And that... And the other thing is that in a normal business cycle, the stock market, like the S&P, peaks maybe 10 months or 12 months before the economy does. And this is why the establishment considers the S&P 500 as a leading indicator. But they haven't done enough historical research, and that is that at the culmination of a bubble, when the stock market heads down, the economy heads down virtually, you know, within a month or so, heading down. So this is going to be a surprise for the establishment, and I'm not shy in using the term, every great bubble has been followed by a great depression.
And Michael's final question of this segment, it all has to do with the U.S. dollar, so we'll just ask him all at once. Bob, will King Dollar soar higher again as we move into a financially shaky 2026? Also, can the U.S. dollar and gold both go higher? And will a collapsing European Union facilitate a dollar rally?
Yeah, you're right on that. And, as explained, the dollar, the senior currency, becomes chronically firm in the post-bubble Great Depression.
Now we move on to another regular listener, Kathleen. I haven't looked at the questions, but I do know she'll have some kind of musical reference in it. And our first question from Kathleen. Season's greetings, Bob and Jim, and all my fellow House Street listeners. As I look at year-end market sentiment, I'm amazed at how in love the retail trade is with the P.E. ratios fatter than Santa Claus and morning lights in the credit markets as bright as Rudolph's nose. Reminds me of Sinatra singing, I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Bob.
And oh, listen a minute, the line after that is, life is a beautiful thing. So long as I hold the string. Sorry, I can't carry a tune, but the words are there. That's one of my favorite Sinatras. Oh, and by the way, Kathleen, if you're listening, you might want to look up Sinatra singing. Roses of Picardy. Just find it. It is a beautiful song that he recorded in London with Robert Farnon as the producer and director and ranger and stuff like that. So that's a little aside for Kathleen.
And getting back to string theory here. Bob, notable market economists have been saying this market's been hanging from a string for some time and that the markets have been divorced from the real economy for several years. Going into 2026, what can cause that string to break? Will we ever see that much overdue period of deflation, or is stagflation in the cards?
Yeah, financial markets get stretched to the limit. And then they break. And we're now saying that this market is stretched to the limit. And we're looking for a serious break that would then lead us into a very nasty world.
And Kathleen, again, taking a musical turn here with another question. It's been a pleasure following the weekly podcast as we begin the new year. The markets bring to mind that Blood, Sweat, and Tear song from 1969, What Goes Up Must Come Down, Spinning Wheel, Gotta Go Round. Well, are we in that situation, What Goes Up Must Come Down?
Oh, yeah, that's good. And I that one hadn't leapt to mind, the Spinning Wheel. Kathleen, that's a good reference. Thanks a lot.
Now, is the euphoric rise in the precious metals justified, or is this an indication of an equity and commodity top?
Well, euphoric moves happen, and justification of one is elusive, and all you do is say, hey, it's going straight up, somewhere it'll bust. But, you know, I've got a very nice quote by the economist John Kenneth Galbraith, and it was in a little book called A Short History of Financial Euphoria. And what he writes is, the euphoric episode is protected and sustained by the will of those who are involved in order to justify the circumstances that are making them rich. And it is equally protected by the will to ignore, exorcise, or condemn those who express doubt. Right. That is really quite good. Now, I've got another quote here. And I'll give you the quote, and then we will identify it. Too much prosperity makes men greedy, and desires are never controlled sufficiently to stop at the point of attainment, which is saying essentially the same thing as Galbraith. Now, this was written by Seneca, who lived from 4 BC to AD 65. And there it is. Markets have always been there, and people and participants always participate in the same way when you get into wild conditions.
Also from Kathleen, what's your opinion of Bitcoin? Is it a commodity, money, a tax evasion device, or a casino gambling chip?
All of the above. It's a wonderful token for those who have been playing it. Wonderful, but I'll let Ross look after the technicals on that one.
Also, given silver's performance of late, has it become the new Bitcoin?
Right. We've covered silver.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught his eye today. The first one from Zero Hedge. China discovers massive oil field in Bohai Sea.
Yeah, that's a plus, especially with those who think running out of crude oil, running out of natural gas and all that sort of stuff. And then there's the whole contingent out there that don't want to have it operating at all and hate oil and gas and have no idea what they're going to do for just staying alive.
Well, I pointed out to Kennedy Stewart when he was mayor of Vancouver, totally against any kind of fossil fuel, natural gas, oil, and so on, that his clothing was all polyester, his underwear, polyester, his computer, plastic, the wood in his office was harvested using chainsaws, using fossil fuels. It was hauled there in trucks using fossil fuels. So I said, without fossil fuels, you'd be standing there naked in a bare office.
What happened then? What did he say?
Well, they're just, you know, it's the usual speechless. They just walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, what can they say? It's everything we have right now is been... brought to you. Everything you own, by the way, the Trucking Association pointed out to me, everything you own has been at a in a truck at some point.
I would say, I would go along with that,
Now, so China's going to have more of their own oil. They supply a lot of their own oil, actually, don't they?
Yeah. No, I looked, saw a number on that a little while ago, and I thought, well, that's good. It's a huge country. And there's bound to be mineral provinces and crude oil and natural gas and everything around there. All you have to do is get some good geologists and go looking for it. So.
Headline from Zero Hedge, why did the EU slide into complete irrelevance?
Yeah. Yeah, the European Union. I like the construction of that headline. The EU is just... become ineffective. They're in the woke feel good mode, and they're turning into a disaster.
Well, one of the things that made Europe great was the individuality of each country as you visited, and now what? They want to merge into just one big kind of brown gooey mess.
Oh yeah, and the Prime Minister of England, Starmer. He wants to take England back into the Europe, get rid of Brexit, which was voted on, and then also in reading about this guy, he really is a WEF globalist, and he is out to also end the monarchy. This guy's ambition is really quite something. And it's not going. I thought Starmer last summer was on the way out, but I think now the recent headlines, even King Charles is getting involved in the issue. So I think Starmer hopefully exit stage left.
Headline from Breitbart. Biden administration spent $2.7 million each on 612 EVs for the U.S. Postal Service.
Yep, they had to have battery-run delivery trucks for the Postal Service, and the price of them is incredible, and they're each not working. Now, there was also one, I don't think we got it here, in Edmonton, they bought a bunch of, the city bought a bunch of trucks to deliver mail or to do something. And Edmonton can get very cold, and when the colder it gets, the less electric vehicles work. So there really was a form of madness on EVs.
Yeah, all the prairie cities that bought electric buses are finding out they don't work very well when you get into minus temperatures.
Yep.
They can only run for 1 or 2 hours, then they need to charge up again.
That's right.
Yeah. Not handy in rush hour.
Yeah.
And people have put out cartoons with a diesel generator attached to the back of each one of these electric buses.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah.
And our final headline here, it's from graffiti on a wall in Pompeii. I hate poor people. If someone wants something for nothing, he is a fool. He should pay for it.
Yeah, that, well, Pompeii got volcanoed. What was it? 80 AD or something like that. Mm. So way back. Let's just sort of round it off to 2,000 years ago. And then I remember another graffiti on Pompeii. A friend of mine got a book of replicated all the graffitis, and one of it said, Julia does it for 2 drachmas.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Another thing they found in Pompeii, they thought Christianity spread quite slowly, but all the slave headquarters had Christian sayings in them. So this is shortly after Jesus's crucifixion,
yeah,
that he was very popular among, you know, slaves in the poorer classes, sailors, yeah, especially as well.
Yeah, very nice statement. Yes, indeed.
Hmm. Bob, all the best of the new year.
I think we're going to have a good one, and I hope you guys at your side have a good one. Yep.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.